Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Young Cho kick off their multi-part series on how to build a private cloud using System Center 2012 SP1. Tune in for part one as they discuss the differences between a private cloud and a highly virtualized environment, how System Center 2012 components map to private cloud requirements, as well as how the SP1 release allows for even greater improvements to managing your data centers and applications. Keith, the mic is yours.
Well, hello and welcome to our very first episode of Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. My name is Keith Mayer, and I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft on the U.S. team. And today I also have with me one of my colleagues, Young Cho. Hey, Young, thanks for joining us today.
Well, hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho. and I am saying hello from North Carolina.
Wonderful, wonderful. And in our series, Young and I will be walking through the steps involved in understanding and also building a private cloud environment that allows you to transform your current data center investment from a virtualized environment, or in some cases, maybe even a physical environment, into an elastic and manageable private cloud that you can use to be very agile in conforming and addressing new business requirements and evolving changes within your organization. So, Young, I know when I meet with my IT pros, and you probably have similar conversations as well, there's still a lot of interest from IT pros on what exactly is a private cloud. A lot of people have very different definitions. When people ask you, Young, how do you respond as far as what is a private cloud from your standpoint?
Yes, I think fundamentally a lot of people confuse private cloud with virtualization, and because 4 or 5 years ago, when everybody is virtualizing data center, after they virtualize it, the private cloud is really, in my view, is really like post-virtualization. You got to have your environment virtualized first, then you can start building the cloud. So when the people finish virtualization, they thought that's the end. That is really not. That is really the stepping stone for you to move to the next stage, which is a private cloud. And I think the essence is really, do we understand cloud? Right, we have to understand what is cloud first, and then we can say, okay, public cloud, private cloud, and all that. So I see cloud really is fundamentally is centralized on the concept of service, right? And this term we have abused so much, and then we get to a point like we don't know what is a service, right? Because everything is a service. IT is a service. Software is a service. Platform is a service. Everything is a service. So what is a service? Cloud is to provide a service. And for me, I think that's the most important concept. And so, Keith, you can ask me, what is a service?
Yep. Sure. Definitely. Well, no, and I agree with you. You know, really, private cloud starts with virtualization as a foundation. And then when we think about service, we really want to take into account really the consumer of those services as well as the provider of those services, right? And so that's a good segue. What, you know, from the standpoint, when we think about application owners, business unit IT as being the consumers of service, and data center admins really being the provider of the infrastructure and of the services themselves. How do you kind of describe what's in the middle of these two then, as in terms of what is a service in a private cloud environment?
Well, specifically, you know, when we talk about service, there's really a conceptual piece and an implementation piece and an operational piece. The conceptual piece is really when we talk about service, we imply there's a standardization, there's a something that you're expected, and it's always there. And service, more specifically, it's more like a, you know, when we talk about cloud computing, you grow, you're shrinking your electricity, ubiquitous access, all that good quality, right? But at the operational level, there's really a very specific implementation type of definition coming out, and specifically for System Center Virtual Machine Manager or System Center in general. When we talk about service, when we implement it, we're really talking about a set of virtual machines that you can deliver them and manage them as a one entity, such that together that set of virtual machines can deliver a service, which from the end user point of view is really an application, right? So you can access your application, but from private cloud point of view, you manage that whole application as a, like in a one container. And that kind of logical construct in System Center Virtual Machine Manager is a service concept, which is a set of virtual machine that you can deliver, you can operate, you can manage as a one entity.
Yep, definitely. And I completely agree. And I really think of services as sort of a application utility, right? So instead of thinking about applications in a business environment as all being very unique and different, instead breaking them down into the components that are common and using those as building blocks to build a set of utilities for database, web applications, file sharing applications, and whatnot. And then being able to expose though that utility type service model to the service consumers, the application owners, the business unit IT, and large organizations on a self-service basis so that they can kind of go out and pick and choose. Do they want to spin up a new database application? Do they want to spin up a new web application? And have the service model implemented, and I think this is really what you were getting to be able to provide process and automation around that to spin up the required virtual machines, the required network and storage infrastructure to support that application service, to support that utility. Of course, on the back end, data center admins, IT pros, still have to do a lot to do to manage that infrastructure, to be able to configure the environment so that the right applications are being deployed, that they're being monitored, that they're healthy, that you have migration that's occurring to new hardware platforms and whatnot. So there's some tools in place that IT pros would leverage across a variety of backends, right? So whether those applications and resources would live on physical or virtual infrastructure, or perhaps out in one of the cloud or colo or service provider facilities as an infrastructure as a service set of resources, still a lot to do for IT pros, not only for the initial deployment and configuration, but also to monitor it, to protect it, and to have the ongoing management of those services and that infrastructure remain healthy.
Absolutely. And also, if you think about the last 2 minutes, like what you talk about, it's so much on focus on what we deliver, which is the application and the data to provide it to the user, right? So we're not so much concerned in terms of, are you running 3 virtual machines? Are you running 2 virtual machines? Where are the virtual machines? We focus more on, you know what, I need that accounting application. And when can I have it? How do you deliver? How do I manage it? You know, we focus more on that service delivery, the user experience end of it, as opposed to, you know, I have 5 virtual machines that I am virtualizing or I'm running. So back to the beginning of the conversation, you say, well, what is a private cloud? What is virtualization? There's your differentiation right there. You know, virtualization is focusing more on just the virtual machine itself. Even you deploy virtual machine, we don't care so much about what's running in that virtual machine. I mean, that's a virtualization solution. I just want to virtualize it. As opposed to when we talk about private cloud, we focus so much on what's running it. How do I deliver it? What's your user experience? How do you manage it? What's the performance? How do I keep my service level agreement? You know, things like that. And so I think that's a very vivid difference right there.
Yeah, definitely. So instead of, as an IT pro, instead of focusing on your physical and virtual infrastructure components, you're instead focusing on that service model and the process around deployment and automation and configuration of that service model. And really, as an IT pro, you're kind of mirroring these two up, right? So that as you're defining your utility services, you're defining within them what the requirements are, what resource levels they should have access to, what levels of storage and networking and compute power and whatnot. And once all those rules are in place as part of your service model helps to self-provision the required resources. Yeah, definitely. And so System Center, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a kind of a key concept here is, okay, now Keith, you just make a good point saying, you're well, we're gonna focus on the service delivery, we're gonna focus on service. Then, well, but still I have an infrastructure under it, right? I mean, at some point in time, you do have to implement your network, you do have to implement your computing, you do need to implement your storage solution, right? So how do I make these two, the physical infrastructure and the conceptual, the, you know, more towards the business model, how do I link them together? I need an abstraction. Who's going to provide me that abstraction? I need a comprehensive system level management to give me that abstraction. And who can do that for me?
And that's exactly where System Center 2012 comes in, right? As a suite of components.
Absolutely.
That have the ability with System Center Virtual Machine Manager to take your physical and virtualized infrastructure components as they exist today and bring them into a central pane of glass for being able to gain more control centrally over your fabric, and then being able to use other components like Config Manager and Ops Manager to manage the configuration updates, the health and monitoring of that infrastructure, Data Protection Manager to protect the data that infrastructure is storing. And then from a service model standpoint, looking at components like App Controller, Service Manager, and Orchestrator to be able to put in place a self-service model that has the automation involved in being able to spin up those new application required components so that instead of us as IT pros constantly being under the gun to spin up new resources to support new application X or new application Y, we can instead focus our energy on making a extensible, scalable, and manageable infrastructure, and then a set of rules that help to self-provision and monitor the applications in a way that keeps them healthy.
Right, absolutely. So we can envision that the System Center 2012 SP1 in the enterprise IT, in terms of the moving to the private cloud, what it provides is right between the physical infrastructure and the business model, it gives you that abstraction right there. So once you build that abstraction using System Center 2012 SP1, then you can focus on the business delivery.
Yep, definitely. And throughout our series, over the next 13 or so episodes, we'll be covering each of these System Center components to varying degrees to help step through the process for building out a private cloud environment. And we'll be starting in our next set of episodes with first building out our foundation that System Center would live on top of, and then move into System Center Virtual Machine Manager to bring that those foundational resources into a place where we can begin planning and leveraging them at the beginning of the formation of our private cloud. Then we'll move on to talk about some of the other components like App Controller, Ops Manager, Data Protection Manager, and Orchestrator that are used for being able to implement more intelligence, more monitoring, and protection around that infrastructure. And we'll finish off with Service Manager in our episode, looking at ways that we can use it to implement both self-service as well as chargeback and showback within our organization of the actual resource costs that are involved in maintaining and running the various applications within our private cloud. And of course, System Center 2012 is not new. It's been around for quite a while yet, but what is new is Service Pack 1 for System Center 2012. Service Pack 1, I know a lot of you are saying, oh, it's just a service pack. What possibly could be so groundbreaking new? Well, System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 is much more than just a service pack. It's got new capabilities and functionality in it to allow us to leverage our foundational elements from a virtualization, networking, and storage perspective in really new and exciting ways. And the key improvements have really been around productive infrastructure, making our application workloads more discreetly monitorable and more predictable, and then being able to think about moving into a hybrid cloud scenario where our applications may be running on a set of components, a set of infrastructure that transcends our data center that's on-premise and possible colo or public cloud platforms like our Windows Azure platform, where it makes sense for your application workloads and for your business requirements. So let's look at each of these in more detail. Well, Young, I know when I talk to people about System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, the infrastructure updates alone are really exciting. I see a lot of people that are excited about System Center 2012 being able to manage beyond Server 2008 R2 and beyond the older versions of VMware and Citrix to incorporate the new 2012 release. From your standpoint, Young, what's been most exciting for you about the new infrastructure updates within System Center 2012?
Well, actually, you just nailed it. The supportability of Server 2012 is a big one, because 2012, there's so much in it. Right. I don't know about your learning curve. It's probably easy for you. For me, Been running in Windows infrastructure for so long. The 2012 is the first one I feel like, wow, you know, I have to spend so much time just to look through all the features. I mean, so, there's so many things to talk about. The installation option, you have three installation options to, now you can go back and forth between server core and other, you know, full UI, minimum UI. There's a Hyper-V replica. There's a live migration. There's a storage space, right? There's a network virtualization building. I mean, all this great story. I mean, I can't say good enough about enough good thing about the Server 2012. So by just supporting Server 2012, I think that's a really a new dimension that we're talking about System Center 2012 SP1. Supporting Windows Server 2012, it's basically saying, you know, I have my cloud foundation in place. The rest is really up to IT professional. You go ahead and you can build it now.
Yep, definitely. And of course, the Server 2012 support is huge. And we also have support for our new Hyper-V Server 2012 product, the free version, the updated free version of our enterprise hypervisor solution. Free, completely free, 100% free.
Everything free. I can't believe I can get a Hyper-V server free.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That's crazy.
And then, of course, although we're somewhat biased to probably the Microsoft platform components, we realize certainly that enterprise organizations are a multi-hypervisor world. You don't want vendor lock into any one hypervisor, so we've updated System Center 2012 SP1 to also manage side-by-side with Windows Server and with Hyper-V Server 2012, the latest versions of Citrix Xen Server, and the latest 5X versions of VMware, ESX, and vCenter and vSphere servers as well, so that regardless of your compute fabric, regardless of your network fabric, regardless of your storage fabric, System Center 2012 is now supporting across the board the standards that you need to leverage your existing compute, network, and storage resources at the beginning, as the beginning of building a private cloud environment. And of course, you know, when we think about Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V Server 2012, you know, there's certainly a ton of improvements like you've been talking about, Young, in terms of being able to better leverage Server 2012 or Hyper-V Server 2012 as either a scale-up or scale-out strategy. So whether you're using Server 2012 and Hyper-V to add additional processors and physical memory to support lots more VMs on a smaller number of highly available host servers, or whether you're taking a scale-out strategy. We've got, you know, anywhere from a 4 to 16 times improvement across the board. So when we're thinking about hosts in virtual machines within a cluster as part of a scale-out strategy, we now have the ability to support the 64 physical hosts running 8,000 virtual machines across a highly available cluster. And from a hardware standpoint, if we're looking to scale up, well, we can scale up our hardware to support up to 320 logical processors, up to 4 terabytes of memory, up to 2,048 virtual processors per host. Really what our product team has done is they've taken the approach of removing a lot of the artificial software limits that are in place in traditional hypervisors and given you a platform that allows you to scale up or scale out without worry of additional licensing costs and things of that nature. From a VM perspective, so we've got the ability now to have up to 64 virtual processors and up to a terabyte of virtual RAM inside one virtual machine. And of course, all of these improvements are not just improvements for Windows Server 2012. They're also the same improvements that exist for Hyper-V when you run them on Hyper-V Server 2012. Young, out of this list of feature improvements, are there particular ones that you've seen be most impactful for organizations?
Well, in fact, I kind of see it from a different angle, if I may. I see the Microsoft offer is really, if you look at some of the improvement we have, we really give you an option saying, you know what, you can start it now and grow, right? And grow as your business become more and more demanding. You can, you know, based upon your budget. So what we provide you, we give you all the options. And based upon where you are right now, you have different kind of path to lead you to where you want to be. And I think that's a very important message we need to make sure IT pro understand. As opposed to, you know, you have to have this before you can do that. We give you a really a range of capability. And not to mention, from all the way the bottom to all the way top to application development. I mean, in between, anywhere, there's a Microsoft stack there. So the integration story can only become better. I'm just so excited about this release that now finally we get to a point that, you know, we can put everything together, big or small. Everybody had a chance to participate in this cloud movement.
Yep,
you
definitely.
Know, this is the time they are changing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And as excited as I am about the improvements from a scale-out standpoint and a scale-up standpoint in Server 2012, I think just adding the Windows Server 2012 support to System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 goes even further, because now, from a single management suite, we have the ability to manage multiple Windows Server or Hyper-V Server 2012 clusters. And System Center 2012 SP1 has been tested by us internally for up to 1,000 hosts and up to 25,000 virtual machines being managed by System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. So when you're talking about just huge scale-out environments, System Center SP1 can really grow with you from that standpoint. Now, this is just the compute side. When we think about networking and storage, those are very critical resources as well in any data center environment. So with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, some of the changes that I've really seen on the network side that I love is, first, the added support for distributed virtual switches, which that really provides a huge needed update when we start thinking about a scale-out model where we have 4, 8, 16, 60, 100 different hypervisor hosts, and we're trying to consistently configure networking across all of these hosts. Well, System Center 2012 allows us to take the approach of, rather than configuring the virtual switch on a host-by-host basis, System Center 2012 offers new support for a logical switch that allows us to define switch extensions, bandwidth and QoS settings, port ACLs, private VLANs, and network virtualization within a central logical switch definition that we can then apply to multiple hosts and push out consistently to all of those hosts.
Right.
I don't know from your standpoint, Young, I'm seeing a ton of excitement around the distributed virtual switching in both enterprise organizations as well as in managed service provider and hosting organizations that are managing large numbers of hosts. What do you think about the distributed virtual switch support?
Well, you need distributed switch in order to give you that predictability of your quality of services to maintain your service level agreement, right? So you can get some predictability in terms of the configuration and some of the, you know, no matter where you relocate your workload, that you will get a consistent, at the network layer, you get a consistent setting there, and which is very important for you to be able to maintain your service level agreement. So I think that is definitely a must-have feature, and I'm so glad that SP1 now we have that capability.
Yeah, definitely. And I think some of the other network changes, though, in SP1 are equally exciting. And one of the areas that I've seen a lot of momentum around is our new support for software-defined networking with network virtualization. And I think the reason that we've seen so much interest in this area is back in the early days, 3, 4, 5 years ago of private cloud, the message that a lot of private cloud vendors were telling enterprise organizations was, you want to build a private cloud? Really needs to be almost a greenfield deployment. Throw out your existing network and storage infrastructure and start over building it for a private cloud. That just didn't work, though. There's such a huge investment that enterprise organizations have in their existing network and storage infrastructure at a physical level that really we need in order for organizations to be able to be very agile in adopting private cloud, we need to be able to layer on top of the existing physical infrastructure, a network infrastructure that makes sense from a private cloud standpoint. And that's just what network virtualization does. Network virtualization is a core element that's built into the foundation of Windows Server 2012, and System Center 2012 allows you to centrally manage that. And it applies a lot of the same concepts that we had on the server virtualization side. to networking. So just like on the server virtualization side, where we have the ability to virtualize a server and run multiple server workloads in an isolated manner on the same underlying physical server hardware, network virtualization allows us to do the same thing but apply it to a network level. So we can take an existing physical network, regardless of how your IP subnetting is laid out, your routing is laid out, and layer on top of that a number of virtualized networks that can be completely isolated or can be isolated to the degree that makes sense in your organization for routing between them, but layer that on top of your physical infrastructure in a way that makes sense for your services. And I see a lot of interest around thinking about network virtualization and high-speed metropolitan area networks where you have multiple buildings that have high-speed interconnects, low-latency interconnects between them. If they're in separate subnets today, network virtualization allows you to simplify and collapse that down to a single set of consistent virtualized networks that follow your virtual machines as they move from host to host, even if those hosts are on separate physical subnets. Right. So I see a lot of interest around this. From your standpoint, Young, do you agree? Do you think network virtualization is a critical component for private cloud environments?
This is absolutely critical because if you look at the virtualization concept, right, there's the three major area, and we have server virtualization, right, that gives you the computing power that you allow to virtualize it. Then you have a storage virtualization, which, like for instance, like storage space in Windows Server 2012 provide you that capability. Then we also need network virtualization that give you that transparency no matter where you move the workload. You know, it simplifies everything for you. You maintain the same IP address. That's the ideal situation. And also, if you look at these three virtualization, storage virtualization, server virtualization, which give you the compute, and then network virtualization, these three things together collectively is also the fabric, right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
How we build the abstraction. So you have all these three things together, virtualize them with System Center 2012 SP1. You know, build it, and then above it, we can back to the conversation we talked earlier. You focus on how you deliver that service, right? How you provide that service, improve that experience, as opposed to maintain in the conversation as, you know, I have five virtual machines. Oh, by the way, need that subnet. No, we want to really move towards the business, right? Closer to the business and have a business conversation as opposed to, you know, talk about infrastructure. And that's why IT professionals need to recognize that System Center 2012 SP1 give you that capability to build that abstraction, right?
Yep,
and
definitely.
That's what cloud is about, is to then we can focus on the service.
Yep, definitely. So it allows us to virtualize our infrastructure, build out our utility-based service policies in a way that makes sense for the applications and services that we ultimately need to deliver, as well as the components of applications that are to yet be delivered and envisioned within the business environment. And then certainly be able to delegate that out to the appropriate levels of access to those cloud or fabric resources within our environment.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, once you build the abstraction, then from your customer, you know, we as a service provider, then when we give the customer doesn't care where your virtual machine is running. I just want my accounting application. So tell me, you know, how soon I can deploy the instance. I want 5 instances. Can I have it? Can I have 15? When can I have it? That's the conversation we want to kind of focus on. And with that abstraction, we now can delegate it out, right? Delegate it out and let the user decide that when they want to deploy it, how many they need it.
Yep, definitely. So that they could, so as a traditional IT pro, our central IT team may be a mix of overall admins that are managing the fabric across the entire system and setting up delegation, as well as junior IT pros that are delegated admins. Maybe they're just maintaining the fabric resources and configuring out new policies for new application services. At the business unit level, then, we have the ability to break things between a tenant administrator and a self-service user. So the tenant administrator, they might be given responsibility for a particular pool of private cloud resources that are associated with their business unit for use for running their applications. And then within that business unit, the application owners that are running various applications can be set up as self-service users to be able to provision new pilot or evaluation or production environments for the application workloads out of the cloud pooled resources that that business unit has been granted. And then certainly from an overall monitoring and help desk and support standpoint, we can give read-only access as well, so that if we're worried about people being able to make, not being able to make changes, we just want them to be able to monitor what's going on, we can delegate that out as well. So a lot of
we can make a you know, very simplified example. For instance, for enterprise IT, they can be the VLAN admin or delegated admin, but for your HR, let's say HR China, right? Their IT can be the tenant administrator, so they have their own little private cloud and they can manage by themselves, but the corporate defined the underlying fabric for them. So that would be a very nice delegated model, because maybe HR China, they have their own need. They know when to deliver it, when they need it, how many they need it. And the corporate IT, really, once you delegate out the authority, it's up to them because that's their resource. So this role-based model, it's really nicely placed there, and then really give IT a lot of flexibility to delegate out the authority. So it's a self-service model, allow the users really to make the best use of their resources.
Yep, definitely. And in large organizations, I've seen this type of model, when well implemented, to really provide a lot more visibility into departmental resource needs that organizations have. I mean, we've all been in those large environments where we walk around and into a particular department and see servers under people's desks or applications that really belong in the data center running on a high-powered desktop machine sitting over in the corner, because those departmental IT organizations for HR, in your example, or sales and marketing or research, didn't have centralized resourcing available to them, so they just built it themselves. Well, as soon as they start doing that, of course, the main enterprise IT teams don't have visibility into any of those applications, don't have the ability to centrally protect the data that's running on any of those servers. This model allows us to be able to provide each of those departments their own cloud of resources, their own little mini data center, if you will, that they have delegated access to. They still have the control of being able to spin up their own applications within. But from an enterprise IT standpoint, where we're the full admin or a delegated admin, we can see those levels of resourcing. We can see the resources that are being used. And we can ensure that overall they're still being properly monitored and properly protected. So I think it's a great model from that standpoint to get your arm, for an organization to get their arms around truly all of the applications that are running out within the organization. And of course, not only being able to delegate access, but being able to show back to those business units exactly what the resources are that they're consuming is an important piece as well. I know early on in the private cloud space, we heard a lot about years ago about private cloud chargeback, being able to charge back for particular resource utilization that a department unit might be leveraging against their particular cloud of resources. What I see, though, in a lot of cases is not so much a formal chargeback process, but more of a showback process that central IT, that enterprise IT uses to show those departments, hey, here's the level of resourcing that we're providing. And if you were to go out and procure this stuff yourself, it would cost you a lot more than what our internal costs, based on the agreements that we've made for software and hardware procurement and whatnot, and based on the way that we're managing our environment with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. What do you hear, though, Young, from your standpoint? Do a lot of your clients talk about chargeback or showback? Is one more than the other being considered?
Right. You saw me raise my hand. I was actually going to ask you, okay, you delegate it out. You delegate it out now. Now, how are you going to charge them? And you brought out this chargeback model. And you also pointed out to something I think is very fundamental, because I talked to IT pro, and many IT pro, sometimes they told me, say, Young, you know what? We will never have a chance to charge back, because either the technical architecture that in our application, we didn't build in at the time, so we have no chance to do that, or simply the political climate does not allow us to charge back. It's just not realistic. And I say, you know, you're missing the point, because charging back is not so much about charging. We are really saying you need to build in, architect in your analytics, right?
Yep,
because if
definitely.
You look at cloud, we talk about self-service things, right? We talk about a lot of things here. Well, if you can use it, you can deploy it. I delegate authority to you. I need to have a way to understand who's using it, when was it used, what's the usage pattern, so I can have a kind of a sensible capacity planning. I can do an educated capacity planning. So the chargeback or showbacks really is really about the analytics that you need to architect in. It's very important concept. Even though it's a private cloud, perhaps you pay off already, you don't need to charge back, you still need to show back, because that gives you the insight of how much been used, when was it used, what's the curve look like, where is, you know, how what's the spectrum they're using, things like that, and it will help you to better plan your capacity. And
yep,
I think that's a very important thing. And another thing is, well, my next question to you is Keith, so the chargeback, the showback model is great, then how do you monitor that? I mean,
yep.
How often you want to check it, or what's your mechanism to monitor that?
Well, and that's really where System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 has done a great job with Service Manager. We can go through the process of assigning our own internal resource costs to each of those resources. And then through integration with Orchestrator and Ops Manager, we're able to produce utilization reports, capacity reports. We're also able to use Ops Manager and Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 to ensure predictability and health of our applications regarding response times and alerts that may be coming up globally across our wide area network, regardless if those applications are running on a Windows platform or not. So now in System Center Ops Manager, we have deep visibility into applications, Java-based applications, applications that are running on Linux and Unix platforms as new features of Service Pack 1, to be able to go down to not just is this application up and running, but what's the response time that the application is providing back to the user by implementing synthetic transactions that test the path that application and the requests travel? And if there are alerts, plugging in Orchestrator as an automated, proactive way of being able to address common alerts, triage them automatically, respond to them, and then roll back up to the enterprise IT team those alerts that really require their attention, rather than displaying a dashboard full of warnings and messages that are meaningless to enterprise IT. So using System Center 2012 to ensure capacity planning is done properly, as well as having predictability of application availability and response times is really key.
Right, and also, you know, once you can monitor it, right, you also have a better understanding of how to maintain your service level agreement and all that. So I think that's a key. And I think the reason that System Center 2012 SP1 is such a great candidate for all this is they have different components to do different things for you, right? And as your business grow, that maybe you started with something that's small. Maybe you don't need all this every components, but as you know, time goes, as your business grow, you add in additional components to increase your capacity to, you know, to respond to the business needs. And I think that's a really a nice model to stay in. And not to mention all this integration that come with it really give you kind of a converged solution, if you will.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, no, I agree completely. And the other really exciting thing that I've seen is that, you know, within enterprise organizations, everybody's data center has some constraints, some physical constraints to it, whether it's space allocation, whether it's heating, electricity, or whatnot. And so as you think about applications that you're deploying and monitoring and working with within your environment, a lot of organizations are starting to look at a hybrid model of being able to have certainly applications and resources that are running in your private cloud on-premise, managed by System Center 2012 SP1, but looking at those applications, maybe some applications that you're piloting or evaluating, or dev test environments, or applications that really need massive internet scale, having those applications perhaps migrate over to a different platform, maybe a public cloud platform like Windows Azure, or a colo service provider's platform cloud. Well, Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 has been updated so that regardless of where your resources are running, whether you have virtual machines, virtualized networks, virtualized storage, and application services that are running across your private cloud, across service provider clouds, or public clouds, we've got the hooks in place to be able to manage all of that. And not only manage the applications that are running across those clouds, but also manage the application workloads as you think about moving them back and forth across your various clouds.
Well, I have a question for you then. So you talk about virtual machines. So my workload running on the virtual machine, would I be able to, in a hybrid environment, will I be able to move them around then? Would I be able to move it from private cloud into my perhaps my Windows Azure subscription then?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, because of the compatibility between Windows Server and Hyper-V Server and Windows Azure, both support as hypervisor platforms the virtual hard disk format. And so if you have existing virtual machines that are sitting in your on-premise Windows Server or Hyper-V infrastructure, and you think, hey, it's really time to move those virtual machines out to the cloud for one of the reasons that I mentioned. Maybe you have some massive scale that you need to take advantage of. Maybe they're virtual machines that have been sitting around for a while. They're legacy applications. They're only accessed periodically, maybe once a month. You don't really want to dedicate full-time data center resourcing to that. Well, with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 App Controller, Virtual Machine Manager, and Orchestrator working together, it allows you to go out to the App Controller portal, have visibility into your on-premise private cloud resources and your off-premise Windows Azure resources, and be able to initiate move and migration operations for virtual machines, as well as be able to templatize virtual machines that you're running in your data center and push a template image of those up to Windows Azure to be able to scale up additional virtual machines. Once you've moved the virtual machines over to Azure, System Center 2012 through App Controller, through Orchestrator, through the Azure Integration Pack for Orchestrator, then allows you to proactively manage those virtual machines throughout their life cycle. And using the support for System Center App Controller and Operations Manager together with the Azure Management Pack, it allows you to do ongoing monitoring of those virtual machines so that when we talk about deep application insight and predictable applications, we're monitoring not just the virtual machines, networking, and storage that's running within our data center. We're also monitoring out at the Windows Azure subscription level, out in service provider colo facilities, the health of our full mix of applications, using a consistent System Center experience across the board so that we don't have to worry about using separate tools for managing our on-prem resources versus our Azure-based resources versus our colo resources. It all folds up under System Center 2012.
Now, I am kind of a UI guy, so I know I can use App Controller to operate both on the private cloud and the Windows Azure environment in a secure manner. Now, you are so geeky, and I assume this is probably something, command prompt, some stuff, PowerShell, some stuff that you can use, because I know you want everything scripted, everything automated. So what's your favorite interface in terms of doing this type of operation?
You're absolutely right. You know, when I was an IT pro out in the field working with several enterprise customer organizations, I learned very quickly that there's a value of being able to go on vacation. But in order to reach that value of being able to go on vacation, you need to have at least enough basic automation and scripting in place to be able to take care of the provisioning, the management, and the monitoring tasks that are common so that your cell phone doesn't ring off the hook when you're sitting on a beach somewhere with issues, right? And so from a Windows Azure and System Center standpoint, one of the great things is that both leverage Windows PowerShell support if you're managing from a Windows environment. You can download it for free, the Windows Azure PowerShell Management Pack. It snaps into PowerShell. And System Center Virtual Machine Manager and Orchestrator have built-in hooks for PowerShell as well. So you can use PowerShell scripts to automate the provisioning of virtual machines, to automate the movement of virtual machines, and to automate proactive responses so that if you start seeing slow response time, you can have PowerShell scripts that Orchestrator uses, for instance, to communicate with Windows Azure or communicate with your on-premise hypervisors and spin up additional virtual machines as part of an automated scale-out of an application service. In addition, if you're running from a non-Windows environment, so maybe you have Linux and Mac workstations that your administrators use, you can still do automation of the environment. Windows Azure has a Node.js-based Azure command line interface, an Azure CLI that's based on the industry standard Node.js library to allow you to automate these operations across Mac, various Linux distros, as well as being able to use the same CLI on Windows platforms as well.
Okay, so it's like either you do UI or you do scripting. I mean, there's something for everybody.
Exactly. And with Virtual Machine Manager, what you'll find is that a lot of the actions that you initiate manually in Virtual Machine Manager, you can have it show you the base PowerShell scripts that it's using so that as you're learning PowerShell, you can use that as a learning tool to begin building out your own scripts. What I really encourage a lot of people to do is begin by leveraging System Center Virtual Machine Manager and bringing your fabric together and defining and managing your application services. But then as you initiate each action from the Virtual Machine Manager GUI, take the time to understand and review the PowerShell scripts that it's showing you so that you can begin assembling your own PowerShell scripts and testing them for automating those processes so that you don't always have to be there in front of the GUI clicking buttons to get stuff to happen.
I'm looking forward to an upcoming episode and then can see you go through this and kind of capture that that moment to see all the PowerShell script and all that. That's great.
Awesome, yeah. And we've just really touched on the surface of System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 in our introductory episode today. In addition to the network virtualization, scale-out support, hybrid cloud support, and extensive deep integration for application monitoring for predictable applications, there's some really other great features as well. Too many to cover in a single show, but we'll definitely be dipping into the features in future upcoming episodes. Features like enhanced storage features for being able to add and remove virtual hard disks in an automated fashion, enhancements to backup for being able to do quick backups consistently of running virtual machines, and snapshotting for very quick restore times, being able to leverage our storage spaces support for very cost-effective ways of building out massive storage solutions that don't require a huge investment like old storage area networks were previously required. So there's just tons of features. I'd encourage you to go out to the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 TechNet library and take a look through the features yourself. And when you're ready to start playing from a hands-on standpoint, well, our team has got a set of hands-on labs that you can build up on the Windows Azure Cloud for free to try out Windows Server 2012 and System Center 2012 for yourself. Those labs can be found at the Cloud Lab link at the bottom of our slide. And as you start going through those labs, if you have questions on the labs, we've also got a weekly set of virtual study halls that you can grab your lunch, connect up to our virtual study hall, work through the labs, and if you have questions, you've got experts like Young and myself and other team members from our evangelist team here in the U.S. to help answer those questions so that you progress through those labs and get a chance to see the true value of what Windows Server 2012 and System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 can provide from a private cloud standpoint.
I'm rolling up my sleeves. Let's get on.
Awesome. Well, Young, thanks so much for joining me today to discuss Private Cloud and System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. Really learned a lot from you and your insights into the industry. And thank you, everyone, for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And I will be back in future episodes to step through the process of building out our Private Cloud Foundation in our very next episode, and then beginning in future episodes episodes to go through the process of leveraging System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager to form our private cloud, App Controller to implement some self-service capabilities and hybrid cloud capabilities, and then technical overviews of each of the other System Center components that can be used to surround our private cloud and guarantee a healthy environment, a protected environment, and an environment where we have some self-service and automation built in that makes sense for our business so that we can ultimately go on vacation and ensure, be comfortable that we have a healthy environment left behind for us.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody. Look forward to our next episode together.
There you go.